throw it down. It'll be all right. So I do appreciate the opportunity to preach in our home church. And young man, the nerves, it doesn't get better. Amen. It doesn't get better. But what you said is true. If you know that the Lord's involved with it, then it'll be easier to do because you know that you're getting out of the way and you're allowing the Lord to do something. And that's what I'm hoping tonight. I'm hoping that the Lord will push me aside and work through me. And first of all, thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be up here.
Amen.
It is an honor, and I don't take it lightly. And I appreciate that, Alex. And so this weekend, we kind of had a theme for myself. So when Pastor talked to me around 1 o'clock and said, hey, you know, be ready to preach, or are you ready to preach? And I said, yeah, I'll be ready. What I'm going to preach has nothing to do with what I thought I was going to do the moment I talked to him. That's just how it worked out. But anyway, through 3 or 4 phone calls and some conversations that we were having on things that I've been working with during the week and some of the discussions that I've had yesterday and some good fellowship over here in the gym with Brother Eric and all the brothers back there, there has been a theme that I felt like I should talk about. And one of the things that throughout all these conversations and one I just had today on the phone with somebody was when people get saved and they do so well, get on fire, get back on their feet, and whatever was bothering them or whatever was destroying them or whatever had their hooks into them, they were able to get those things out. And you've seen progress, right? And that's what this should be. It should be spiritual progression instead of perfection because we'll never reach that. Jesus Christ was that. So what we do is strive to be like him. Okay, so it's an everyday thing that you should constantly want to get better and better. And when they have the ability to feed the spirit and the spirit strengthens and you see that, and what happens is it isn't that God turns their back on them, although that's what many of us say, right? It isn't the fact that they're not trying hard. What the problem is the problem is that they're not feeding the spirit anymore. And what happens is we start patting ourselves on the back. The only reason I say this is because years ago, that's what happened to me. In 2003, I got saved. You know, it wasn't until 2009 or 10 before I got right and did something for the Lord. Yeah. Think about that. There's a huge difference, right? Huge difference. Right. And it's because in 2003, I got saved and I believed I was saved. I knew it. I knew I wasn't going to hell. I wasn't doing nothing to feed the spirit. And what happened is I kept feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh, feeding the flesh. And what happened is the flesh ended up devouring me, right? And it took over, and I wanted to constantly reward myself. In that little period of 2003, I got to a point where, man, we were on fire. We were coming to church. My family was doing well. We were getting our bills back on track. We weren't partying. We weren't drinking, and things were great. Our marriage was good. Everything was great. And what happened is I turned around and pat myself on the back.
That's right, brother.
And look what I did. I fixed all this myself. Yeah. And all I did was set myself up for failure. Yeah. Because I forgot about what God did.
That's right.
And the spirit that he gave me. And I forgot that. And all I was doing is disabling the spirit, disabling the spirit, disabling the spirit. And it'll get you. And tonight, hopefully, I'll talk a little bit about that. And if not, then you guys are just going to have to bear with me for about 45 minutes, right? So... if you could, open your Bible to the book of Galatians. And I remember talking to a young man one time, and he said, when should we be feeding the Spirit? And I know that the question was justified. I didn't think he was being ignorant or rude or stupid. I believe that he was asking, is it in the morning, do we read? Is it at night, do we pray? I mean, when is it? When do we feed the Spirit? It's a simple answer. All the time.
Amen.
Every moment of every day.
Right.
And the moment that you stop feeding the Spirit, you will feed something else.
Right.
Period. It's just going to happen. And I'm not telling you this from things I see here. I'm telling you from experience, from this guy right here. And in the hopes that I can forewarn you so that you don't go down the same path.
Right. Amen.
So if we Look in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 16 and go on down a little bit. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Very good statement. Amen. It's a simple thought process. Amen. If you're fulfilling the Spirit, you won't fulfill the flesh. Amen. It's just that simple. Yep. And again, this is from experience. So if you're doing things that are going to lift the Spirit and strengthen you, and you are going to draw closer to God and to God's people. Son, you said it the best. You know what it is I have tried everything. Can I give a small little testimony here? So I come from that outside world. I come from a world with drinking and drug use and families fighting and parents separating and coming back and all kind of nonsense. Right. All right? So I've been there. And I tell you, there has never been a sweet spirit around none of that. And the whole time searching and searching. And you know what? You're right. When you come in here, you know, there's times we all have our ups and downs. We're human beings, and we got to try to get along together. And look, there's a lot of us. Amen. To try to get. You ever have four people in a house try to get along? That's a lot of people, especially when you live with me. There's a lot of me. And I'm not easy to get along with. Ask my family. So then you take everybody and you bunch all them people in together, and they all have their own thoughts, their own opinions, their own way of doing things. And what you do is you find that everybody has their ups and downs. Everybody has their opinions. And they disagree and agree and disagree and agree. But it's our job is to keep that into one unity.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
Because the Spirit wants to be in here. I feel the Spirit in here all the time.
Yep.
All the time. When I get weak out there, and there's times I get weak. I get weak. There's times where I'm working or I have other commitments and I can't make it here. And you feel it.
Yep.
You feel it. You feel the attack worse then than ever. And the one thing I had to realize is that this is a place to charge your battery.
Yeah.
It's a place to charge your battery. You need to plug into the Spirit. This is where you got to be. Yeah. Plug right in. I would come here even if I had a problem with somebody in hopes that I could find a way to fix it.
Amen.
So that I don't have to leave or they don't have to leave, because I don't want somebody to leave just as bad as I don't want to.
Amen.
This is our refuge. This is where we tap in.
Amen.
So we have to have that place. It says it's 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." It's a constant fight with these two things. It's a constant fight. People say, "Well, I got that balancing act. I can balance this, and I can balance that." Hey, man, I walk on that line sometimes. There's some of you guys, I've testified about that guy that don't like me. My kid signs up for baseball. And this guy, you can ask my wife, this guy picks on me something fierce. And he schedules all my games on Wednesday because he knows. He knows. When we go out to outings, what do? When we take that team, I make him pray. Hey, you pray in front of these people. But what happens is you get away, and you walk that line. Right? And I feel the attack all the time. I was talking to you, Brother Ryan, about one. We were talking just last night about it. I said, you feel it more than ever. And that's when you have to gird yourself stronger than ever. You got to get into the Word of God. You got to call the people into fellowship. And you got to hope that you can withstand it. And if you can't, you got to get back here.
Yeah. Amen.
You got to get back here.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
They don't want parts with each other. So you're either going to feed one or feed the other. People say, well, I could do, but you can't do both.
Amen.
You can't do both. It's not going to happen. Remember, experience. I'm just teaching you from experience. And 18 says, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness." And this thing goes on and on. And you know what? I believe there's more than just that.
Yep.
I believe there's way more than just that.
Yep.
So these are the things that you have to guard yourself. And it says, "As I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Because the two things don't like each other. You're either going to feed the flesh, and you're going to work in the flesh. And I tell you what, we were talking last night. I can't remember who I was saying. I don't remember who I was talking to when I said this or when I was saying it. Maybe I forgot, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to say it now. The problem happens is you start getting ashamed if you do something in the flesh. And then it's a downhill effect from there. And I'm going to elaborate. So say I'm hanging out at wherever, the ballpark, and four or five people hear me cursing and carrying on. And they know somebody comes to this church. They tell that. Then that person tells somebody else, and that person tells somebody else, and then it gets back to me. So what do you think the first thing that I do? I just stop coming. That's what happens, because what it does is you pack this pack full of shame, and you zipper it up, and it's heavy. And then you put this thing on your back, and you wear it every single day. Instead of dealing with it, most of us won't. What we do is we find it easier to walk away. So that's what happens. That's what happens. You end up walking away, and you get away from the situation because you don't want to face it, because there's too much shame and too much guilt, and you're worried about it. So what happens is we have to get to a point where we guard ourselves against these things, and we try not to do that. And that's what I was telling. I can't remember who I was telling last night, but I know I was saying it. So I constantly have to be on the guard for those things. And because you're never going to see somebody say, hey, let me tell you something. Through all that drunkenness and through all that drug abuse and through all that wickedness, you know what helped me? The Spirit. Amen. I got saved. I finally got right. And I finally grew to know Christ the way I should.
Amen.
And what happens is he kept strengthening me, strengthening me, strengthening me, strengthening me. He won all the victories, not me. Amen. He won them all. And I tell you what, one of the main reasons I felt, I kept telling people always talking this, that, and the other, hey, look, I could care less what y'all say now. And I don't mean that offensively. Amen. But I'm not going to let it chase me from here.
Amen.
I just ain't, because this is where I come to tap in. This is where I get my energy from. And you are not chasing me from here. Amen. You got a problem with me, you need to come see me face Amen. To face, and then we could get it out of the way so it's not in here.
Amen.
Except for her. I don't want to fight her. So... If you keep that constant thought process, then we have a refuge. If you don't, just like I said before, the first thought is, I'll leave. I'll just leave. And then our numbers get dropped down and dropped down. The only thing that's going to help is we get along better. No, I'm just kidding. That was bad. I shouldn't say that. So one of them you're going to feed. You're either going to feed one, the flesh, or you're going to feed the Spirit.
Right.
And whichever one you feed, just like Pastor says, you hear it here all the time, is going to grow more. And in the thought process of that is when I was talking to these people throughout these last couple of days, all different people, we were talking about why you fall. Well, that's why you fall. That's why we fall. I'm going to say we. That's why we fall. That's why we fall. And it's our job to make sure that we don't. Turn to Ephesians 4. That's going to lead me right into this comment here, this little bit. Hopefully I'm not boring you guys.
No.
This is on my heart, and I hope it helps somebody. My goal here is to help, Amen. Not hinder. And if I offend somebody, I'm sorry. That's not my intent. In chapter 4, verse 1, I'm going to read through these real quick. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. Said this to somebody last night too. Don't know. You know you are all called.
Amen.
You saved. You're called.
Yep. Right.
It might not be the pastor. Yeah, even you, Alex, are called to do something, buddy. That's scary right there, isn't it? He's got a bus license. I'm not getting on that bus. Ken, you can ride with him. We're all called for something. You get saved, and the Lord wants to put you to work. All you got to be is like this young man right here. He said, hey, I'm usually shy, but I just want to do something for the Lord.
Amen.
That's what it is. You just want to do something for the Lord.
That's right.
The Lord wants to put you to work. And what happens is we get in our way.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then we try to decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to. And remember, I'm guilty of this. This is me. I'm talking more about me in hopes that if it happens to you, you will remember this. The reflection of what I'm saying will come to you, and you say, I'm not going to make the same mistake that idiot did. What happens is we get in the way and say, well, that's not really for me.
Yep.
So I'm going to do something different. Or I'm really not going to do that. You know how easy it would have been to say, Pastor, I'm not going to preach tonight.
Yeah.
I'm nervous. I don't want to get up there. It would have been easy to do that.
Yep.
But I know that's not what the Lord, I know the Lord must put on his heart to even ask me. Because I don't deserve to be up here. I'm the last one that deserves to be up here. But you got to go with the will of God. It's not our will, it's his will. We got to stay right in that will. That's the safest place. You're on the right side or on the left side, you're in the danger zone. But if you stay right in the center of God, right in the will of God, you're okay. It says in verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. In love. Not in light, in love. We have to learn to love one another. You got to learn to love the sinner. We were talking last night in this group here, and I tell you what, when I ran that seven pillars for 6 years, you know how many people scorned me? Nikki, am I lying? How many ups and downs we went and people hurt? And I still love them, still pray for them.
Amen.
You know what I had to do? I had to learn to love them. I had to see past all that stuff. I had to see past. I had to realize that it was because they were feeding their flesh. That's why they hurt me. That's why they hurt me. They didn't mean to do it. It's the world that made them do it. It's all the stuff that they're involved with that made them do that. And I had to love them even because of that. I had to love them more because of that. And that's not easy to do.
Yeah.
Verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit it in the bond of peace. We have to do that. Remember that spirit we were talking about keeping unified in here? That's something that we have to do. That's part of your job. Your job is to make sure that this church succeeds, and that's no matter what we have to do. If you're asked to do it, we got to get involved, right? We have to keep the unity of spirit. People say to me all the time, should we go say something to brother such and such because he did it? Yeah, I think we should. I don't think we should talk about it unless we go to them about it.
Amen.
That's just how I mean, that's just upbringing. I don't think you should say nothing unless you go to him.
Amen.
Because what's going to happen is me and you going to talk about it.
Yep.
And then somebody else is going to come around and you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
And then you're going to want to go tell somebody. And then it's going to get back to them. You know what they're going to do? They're going to leave.
Yeah.
Now, what'd that fix? Now you're down one soldier.
That's right.
What'd you do? What did you accomplish? Nothing.
Amen.
You're working for the enemy.
Yep.
Amen.
That's who you're working for, the enemy.
That's right,
man. Instead of just saying, hey, brother, you want to come over for dinner? I'll have my wife cook. Because I'll get it. And we're going to eat. That's right. That'll cure anything. I don't care who you are. And then you bring them over and you talk about it. And say, hey, it's because I love you. It's because I want to keep the unity. And I don't want nobody else involved. Nobody else even has to know.
Amen.
Just me and you. What can I do to help you fix it?
Amen.
Let me know. Teamwork.
Yep.
Right?
Amen. That's good.
Verse 5. Verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Now, you ain't no better than anybody else in here.
Amen.
And I know Brother Ken knows that.
Amen.
And I ain't no better than anybody else in here.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
You will never get to a place where you sit so high up that you're over top of all of us.
That's right.
Ain't going to happen. I love that man up there, but he ain't over top of nothing.
Right.
It's one unity.
Amen.
Right? We fail, he fails. He fails, we fail.
That's right, amen.
I fail, you fail.
Amen.
That's right.
That's how it works.
Exactly.
It's one bloodline, one pulse. This is not how I want it to be done. This is what the book says.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one unity, and it's our job, Lord said, keep the unity.
Amen.
Even the ones who just got saved, who ain't doing their job yet, it's up to us to disciple.
Amen.
I heard Brother Eric say it not too long ago. He's like, my hope is to disciple the people I lead to the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, man, that's the best thing I ever heard, brother.
Amen.
And I'm not boasting you up. I'm just saying that's one of the best things I've ever heard. Because you can lead a million people to the Lord,
right,
but if you can't disciple them,
right,
if you can't teach them the word of God, hey, we're losing the battle.
Amen.
We're losing the battle. Here in a few minutes, I'm going to do some statistics. I know my wife hates when I do that, but I like statistics. Why? Because it lets you know where we're at. I want you to know the world we live in today, right here in our America. And then you're going to understand why that we have to start here and unify here first so that we can do something about it.
That's right.
And we got to make an impact. People say, man, why do you volunteer so much? You ain't got no time. Because I got to make an impact. And most of the time I'm doing it, I'm dealing with the little ones. And you know who they're going to be one day? An adult.
Yep.
And if they have an idiot leading them, they're going to act like an idiot.
Yep.
And that's what's going on. So you have to get involved. You got to. You got to do something. Verse 17, I'm going to skip over here a few little bit. So what do? We change. Amen. We change our thought process. This is that change I was telling you about. What happened different in 2009 or 2010 that didn't happen in 2003? It was a change. There was a change took place. See, I thought I got saved. Well, the magic's got to work. Something's got to happen. And nothing happened. Why? Because I didn't change. Still went to the same places, still talked the same way. I was even ashamed. Hey, do you believe that? Look, I would go out some places, and I would not tell them about where I'm going. I am not telling them that I'm going to church. Ain't no way I'm going to tell them I got saved. That was in 2003. I'm not lying to you. I was ashamed. Now I'm ashamed that I was ashamed. Does that make sense? Did I mess that up? Right? I hope I didn't mess that up. But now I'm ashamed that I was ashamed. Because now I realize what he did for me. Hey, look, I don't know about some of you guys, but I'm going to tell you what. I was in a dark place in my life. Amen. I was in a dark place in my life and had no other power. Man, I went to the institutions. I went to the doctors. You know how people say, oh, you got to do it? I went to it all. I did. My wife would testify. Did I not try everything there was? I thought I was broke. I even went crying to her one night. Why is this the way I have to be? Why? Is there something mentally wrong with me? No, it's just I was feeding the wrong thing. Yeah. That's all it was. Yeah. That's all it was.
Yep. Amen.
Old man told me one time, all you got to do is feed the spirit. Amen. Yep. Amen. That's all you got to do. Amen. You just got to stop feeding the wrong animal. Amen. It was that simple. Amen. It was like a light went off. Ah. I even said that to people. I said, they said, what happened? What made you change? I don't know. It's just like a light went off. And it said, you got to change. Does that make sense? I mean, that's just crazy. But one day I woke up and said, I'm sick of being sick. Amen. I'm tired of being tired. And I need help. And I've tried everything else. I'm saved. Might as well read the book. See what happens.
Amen. Amen.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
As simple as that was. And it changed my life. Amen. My wife would tell you I'm still stubborn, hard-headed. Amen. But you know what? She comes home to a clean husband. Amen. Who works every day.
Amen.
Loves her kids.
Amen.
And have opportunity to work with kids.
Amen.
Our Sunday school class, man, they worked hard. Bus kids were always coming because we do point system. We do all kinds of stuff, don't we, Alex? And these kids come all the time. And then I reward them. They get a pizza party once a year. I only do it once a year. And them kids were happy they come, got their pizza this morning. Hallelujah. I didn't get none either. But and what they do now is when they first came and they got things right and they have their verses, I say, do you want points or do you want candy? And they would all say, I want candy. Now? Oh, now it's a fight. Now, I keep the candy. We're going to do the points. Why? Because it changed. Because there's starting to be a change, and they notice a difference. I got an opportunity to do that where I didn't do that 10 years ago, 11 years, whatever it is, and before 2010. And the Lord saved me and said, I want to use you. You have the same opportunity as anybody else.
Amen.
You just got to be willing to take it.
Amen.
And from 2003 to 2010, I wasn't willing to take it.
Yep.
Didn't want to take it. And like I said, I was even at one point ashamed, scared what everybody going to think. I went down there where they shout and run around and act crazy, and I got saved. I didn't want to tell nobody that. Now I'm ashamed that I was ashamed.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
It's crazy. And you know what changed it? It was reading the book. Not that, I was just reading the book and taking the book at its word.
Amen.
Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. That's a pretty good place to start right there, isn't it?
Amen.
We could probably just stop right there and that'd solve all the problems. Just don't walk like they walk.
Amen.
Hey, when I read this, I was like, man, Lord, he gave a book for dummies. It's a good thing I got in on something. I didn't deserve to get in on it, but you know what? I got in on something. Tell me we didn't get on it. Man, it's just here. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Hey, here, I can tell you and testify that not only was my heart, I mean, I had... My eyes were blinded. My heart was blinded. My mind was just so many wicked things growing up that I've seen that I wish I could unsee. And you know what it does is it hardens your heart and makes you stiff backboned and you don't trust people. Man, I tell you what, I would have never trusted people like I trust now. The people I grew up with, Robbie Blind, those were friends. So imagine what the other ones would do. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, I'll testify. My best friend is sitting in Smyrna because he took out a woman execution style in front of her 8-year-old. That's the type of people we were around. You know what did it? I'm going to tell you what did it. It was a spirit that did it.
Yep.
How do I know it was a spirit? Because he was drunk and under influence of drugs when he did it.
Yeah.
And this is the same boy that I spent the night with when I was a kid, and we played in my room, and he committed murder. I know he wouldn't have done that. It was a spirit.
Yep.
It was a spirit. You keep playing around, and you're going to mess with the wrong spirit. You know what you're doing? You're feeding the flesh.
Yep.
And the spirit can't wait to devour you.
Yep.
And if you don't think that you would become a puppet, better men have fell. Better women have fell. Telling you that right now. Better have fell. Verse 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. They all greedy. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that to hear him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Amen. Thank God for the truth.
Amen.
That ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. That's what I was talking about. What happens if you go to them places, you start talking like that old person? Hey, shame on you.
Amen.
And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. We were talking about a verse, one of the first verses that I had learned, 1 John 1:9. You got to love that one.
Yes, sir.
Who here does not love that verse?
Amen.
All you got to do is confess to the Lord all your faults and the things, and he is faithful and just to forgive them.
Amen.
I mean, faithful and just. He doesn't say, well, maybe this time, that time, I don't know, whenever he gets to them. No, it says faithful. Hey, faithful means all the time. It means I'm not going to miss any. Faithful and just. And then he's just about it.
Yep. Amen.
And then he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
And we don't deserve it.
That's right. Amen.
I don't deserve it. We don't deserve it.
Amen, brother.
It's a good start. So if we're looking to be in the right spirit, this is a good spot. This is a good start right here.
Amen.
So go back to Galatians real quick, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, at this time, this church was all but easily persuaded to go away from their original teaching. Right? That's what's happening right here. So you come, you get the doctrine, we're here, we get the truth, and we get it preached to us the way it should be.
Amen.
Right? Ain't sugarcoated. Sometimes it hurts. It's supposed to.
Yep.
That's what it's supposed to do, right?
Yep.
And then, before you know it, somebody else tells you something. And this person tells you something. Then you get invited to that church. And then you say, oh, well, I got some feel good over here or whatever this is. Next thing you know, you're easily persuaded.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing. Your friends tell you something. Hey, man, you don't need to go there. I tell you what, look how good you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't really need to go back there every single time that door is open.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? Why? You don't have to do that.
Amen.
Right? Hey, don't get me wrong. If you're working or you have a reason, Lord knows. You don't need, I'm not keeping count and record of when you're here, when you're not here. I'm not, but Lord.
Amen.
So if you're working and there's a justified reason, but if you're doing it because you're buddies and you're so easily persuaded that this isn't for you and you don't really need this, you don't need to go all the time. Look, that church down there, it's only open on Sunday morning. We go in there and he preaches to us and then we can leave. We ain't got to worry about it all week.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm wicked, man.
Yeah.
I sometimes 3 days a week of plugging in isn't enough. Sometimes that's still the wicked things going in this mind. I got a terrible mind.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Sometimes you gotta plug in.
That's right. Sure.
That's why you better get the book out at home. You better call some people, invite them over.
Amen.
You better do whatever you gotta do. Iron sharpeneth iron.
Amen.
Right? But what happens is sometimes you fall for that. Why? Because you're not strong in the spirit. There wasn't enough food there. You didn't feed it. It wasn't big like that. You want the spirit look like this here. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. It's all in there. But if you're not doing that, you get in trouble and you are easily persuaded. And next thing you know, you're out. Well, that's what was happening to them. They just were persuaded by them. They start talking about the law and works. And if you read into that part, it turns into this whole other thing. They forgot all about what they were originally taught.
That's right. Yep.
Because they weren't feeding themselves. They weren't feeding themselves. People say, why did they go back? That guy got on fire, man. He was doing good. Why did they go back? That was originally what we said. Why did they go back? That's why they go back. They're not strong enough in the spirit. Go to 5:1. They're easily persuaded. Galatians 5:1. Sorry to have you guys bounce around here. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with wherewith Christ had made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
Amen.
Almost a plea there.
Right, yeah.
He's already set you free.
Amen.
What do you want to go back to it for?
Right.
I don't understand. This is what, I've had this preached to me 100 times, and 100 times I still went back to it. That's how hard-headed I am.
Yeah.
I'm hoping it just takes somebody in here one time to realize.
Yeah.
If he's already set you free from it was him, it wasn't you.
Right.
All the power you got couldn't set yourself free. Without this place, without the power of God, you'd be wicked.
Yep.
Most of us be on our way to hell. That's
right.
Where we deserve.
Yep.
So what we deserve, says, why don't I go back? And then so I'm going to give you some statistics real quick.
Amen.
And my wife is always like, don't do the statistics. I like it. I do. I don't know why I do, but I don't like it just for my own knowledge, but I like it to allow people to know. So when I do have the opportunity to speak, I could tell people who are in the same battle. Why? Because you got to know your enemy.
Amen.
I was talking to, I think I was talking to Nate earlier this morning. I was saying, you know, Daniel, even in the den, knew who his enemy was. He knew, oh, Lord, they hungry, and they going to get me. He faced his enemy. He seen who it was, and he knew who it was. So sometimes it makes the battle easier when you're praying, Lord, specifically, save me from that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Lord, I want to make an impact. And I heard this, and this is the way it's going. Could you help me in the hope that I could do something there?
Amen.
Yeah. So I'm going to go over now. Hopefully this doesn't sting too much, but this is statistics. This is where I got them from the National, I don't even remember what it was called, National something or another. Doesn't even matter. You got Google. Look it up. So, on average,
not
listen.
Now, later.
Yeah, not now. Wait till Ken speaks. So, on average, yeah. On average, nearly 20 people per minute. So, think about that. 20 people per minute are physically abused by a loved one. Beat up. Think about that. Not somebody getting mugged on the street. 20 people a minute. Now, I've been up here blowing hot air for probably 15, 20 minutes. So think about that. 20 people times that 15 or 20 have already been beaten and battered by a loved one. Not a stranger. Most people who break into your home, not strangers. It's people you know. Isn't that sad?
Yep.
That's sad. That's, here's America. This is what, trying to paint a little picture here. This is what we're up against. It says that is more than 10 million a year. One in three, here's one. One in three women and one in four men will have been victims of some form of physical violence by a loved one. Isn't that crazy? So how many people we got? One, two, three. One and three. One, two, three. One and three. One, two, three. One and three. One, two, three. Do you get what my point is? You see where I'm going? One and three. That's crazy. There's a need. You know what they're doing? They're feeding that flesh. They're feeding that. If you in the spirit, it's not something you think about. I don't think about beating people. Well, there might be a couple people I think about. But on average, you see what I'm saying? No, that's crazy. If you think of that, one in three, and how many women and how many men are in here? I mean, you count that out. It just blows my mind. I mean, when you're thinking about a ministry, you're thinking about a church being a hospital for people who are sick and suffering, and the root cause is they're feeding the wrong animal, and this is what happens.
Right.
It's gone. One in five women and one in 71 men in the U.S. have been raped in their lifetime. I didn't make this up. This is real statistics. Think about that. And that's just, oh, yeah, that's a good point. Thank you. See? This is only reported.
Yeah.
One in five. Again, one, two, three, four, five. One, two, three, four, five. Thank God we have a refuge.
Amen.
And the men and women in here are safe, and they have a Christian family that loves them. And they don't have to worry about it. These young ladies and these boys don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
But think about that. And then people say, oh, you're too hard on your kids. I don't care how old my daughter is. She ain't leaving my house.
Amen.
I told her, I said, you're going to stay there till you're 40 if you got to. I don't care. I said, you know, I'll feed you. Stay right there.
Amen.
You know why? Hey, I'm not trying to be a mean dad because I love her. And I don't want her to be a one in five.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? I don't want her to be a one in five.
Amen.
One in five. They didn't say one in 500. They said one in five. You know what they're doing? They're feeding the flesh.
That's right.
Where'd that start? Where do you think that starts? It starts young, and it starts in magazines and videos.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when that doesn't work any longer, it has to become physical.
Right.
Why? Because just like any addiction, it starts with a mental obsession. And you know what it turns into? Every time, it turns into a physical dependency.
That's right.
Yep.
They got to have it. Because the videos and the paper ain't working no more. So it started way before it happened.
That's right.
So if we could fix it in these young people now, maybe we'll have a fighting chance.
Amen.
We got to give them a chance. We got to change this. We need to change America.
Amen.
This is a Christian nation still, right? It is considered a Christian nation. You can't tell.
That's right.
72% of all murders and murder suicides involve an intimate partner. 94% of them are women. So think about that. 72% of all murders. How many murders do you think happen in the United States? That's a number you don't want to see. I ain't even add that in there. Look it up. It would blow your mind. It would absolutely blow your mind how many murders happen in the United States. 72% of them are by an intimate partner. You know what that means? It means somebody who's either shacked up or married says, I love you. At one point they said, I love you.
That's right.
That's murder and murder suicides. They're feeding the wrong thing.
Amen.
They're not feeding the spirit. And it's a losing battle. What I was doing, I was feeding the flesh. I was losing the battle. You start feeding the spirit, you start winning the battle.
Amen.
We want to stop seeing the turnover on people. We want to stop seeing a lot of the problems that they're having. We got to teach them how to feed the spirit.
Amen.
Right? We got to help them.
Amen.
It says, So the victims lose a total, so these victims of the rape and abuse will lose 8 million days of paid work each year. So those victims that we talked about, the one in five, the one in three who were beat, so the rape victims and the beat, men and women, statistically will lose a total of 8 million days of paid work each year. That doesn't help anything, does it? 8 million days. You know what the cost of that violence is estimated to be? $8.3 billion per year. You know who pays most of that? What was that?
Taxpayers.
Taxpayers. For everybody in here that works and the government takes money from you, $8.3 billion of that goes towards that. There's problems out there that they don't want you to know about. And they just want us to go on about our life. And you know what? They could care less. They don't care that they're not feeding the spirit. They don't care. They want them to feed the flesh. Why? They're making money off of them. It's a money racket. We were talking last night. You know one of the things I despise the most? Who here has ever heard of the connections? I hope they're videotaping. Send out all you can send to this, and I tell them to their face, I can't stand them. People say, well, they're helping addicts. No, they're not. They're killing people.
Yep.
Ain't helping nothing. You take an addict off the street, now you got the government making money off of them, giving them methadone and Suboxone. That's insane. And then you send them on their way saying, you're getting better. No, you're killing them.
Yep.
Feeding the wrong spirit. They're feeding the flesh. On the average of these 3.6 million cases of child abuse, or on average, there are 3.6 million cases of child abuse every year since the year 2000. 59% will be arrested. 59% of these children will be arrested before they're 18 years old. 59%. That's insane. That's 60%. So for every 10 youngins that we have in here, you count out six of them. If something happened to them, that means them six out of them 10 are going to jail. They're going to jail. And that's probably, once they get caught in that system, where they're spending the rest of their life.
That's right.
You know what they need? Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
That's what they need.
Right.
Somebody needs to take the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Yep. Somebody needs to share the gospel with them.
Amen.
1,580 of those abused children will die every year. 1,580. Here's something that hurt. 70% of them are younger than the age of two. So only 30% make it past two. 70%, two. You imagine two? I see babies in here all the time. I couldn't imagine that. That's insane, two. You know, life happens so quick. It's a gift that we were given of God. Right. It's precious, and he wants us to use our time wisely. Amen. To try to represent him in the same job that the book said that you were given the day that you accepted salvation. And that life will never happen for them. Why? Because the parent, and we'll get to that, I skipped here, because the parent was feeding the wrong thing. 80% of those are abused by a parent. Now, I probably should have read that before I said what I said. 80% are by a parent. I love my kids. And I tell you what, if I had to correct them, I'd tear their butt up. But I could not hurt them. I would not be able to beat my child to where they had to be hospitalized. I don't understand what goes on. You know what it is? I'll never understand. Because they're feeding the flesh. They're feeding something. There's something most of them happened before it happened to them. Every day in America, more than 115 people die from overdosing of opiates. And I just said opiates. You want to read up on something, what's killing our young people? Look up drug abuse. That's just opiates, 115 a day. So by the time you lay your head on the pillow tonight, 115 people have lost their life due to overdose. And nobody wants to talk about the epidemic out there, but we have the answer.
Amen.
And we've got the cure. Every 25 minutes, a baby in America is born addicted to opiates. Every 25 minutes. So at least one child in the time that I've been speaking has been born with an opiate addiction. Just in the time I've been speaking. That's insane. That's just insane. Think about that. Over 20 million Americans suffer with drug addiction. Only 3 million get treatment. And I end it with the word treatment, not help. Because in 3 million, they don't get help. They get treatment. That could be anything. That could be counseling that probably doesn't work. And they're using, it's just not recorded. Or they're giving them drugs to supplement. Here, take these.
Yep.
And then tomorrow morning, show up here and take these. And then tomorrow morning, show up here and take these. And then tomorrow morning, and it's just a vicious cycle. Yep. And then what happens is one day they can't get a ride. and they can't make it to treatment. Treatment, where they're supposed to get help.
Yep. Yep.
And because they can't make it and they don't want to be sick all day, where do you think they go? Another connection. Sad. Drug and alcohol is the leading cause of death among Americans under 50 years old. That's sad. Do you know how many things that people can die of? And I'm not boasting at what I'm saying is think about all the diseases and car crashes and, I mean, you name it, plane crash, anything that can take a human being's life out of this world. And the leading cause is drug and alcohol. That's the leading cause. Losing the battle. And you know what? They feed in the spirit. I know, because I fed the same spirit. And I tell you what, as soon as I got drinking, you could tell. I could be around. Who here has not been around someone who had been drinking or using? You could tell right away. There's a spirit on them. I talked to them on the phone, and I know. Hey, brother, you've been drinking? No, I can tell. You know. Why? There's a spirit. There's a spirit that comes along with that. And you know what I mean? And that spirit is devouring them. Why? Because they're feeding the flesh. Feeding the flesh. I make an analogy all the time when I get an opportunity to speak. Or I say, look, that old animal, that old wicked man that I was. And I was wicked. Good night, I was wicked. And it took a long road for me to try to understand and for the Lord to tenderize my heart and start being compassionate. I had no compassion towards people. I just, wicked. And I was able, through the power of Jesus Christ, to cage that thing up and keep it locked up. And I use that analogy. And you know the sad thing is, as soon as I allow the guard to leave and stop feeding the guard and letting the guard be strong, they let that animal out.
That's right.
And once it's done, do you know how hard it is to cage him back up? We got to keep him caged up.
Amen.
There's many of us in here that have an animal that should not be loosed. Amen. And we have the ability to cage it up. We have the ability to stay strong. We have the ability to fight a fight. We have the ability to not be in these statistics. To not have our children in these statistics.
Amen.
We have the ability to win the battle.
Amen.
I know that I can testify there's been time after time that I ended up feeding the wrong thing. And the hope is tonight is that you will pray, Lord, don't let me get to a place where I don't feed the spirit.
Amen.
Lord God, protect me.
Amen.
You know, one of the things we pray about is a hedge of protection, don't we, buddy? Put a hedge of protection about me and my kids. Because, God, you know I'm weak, and I'm an idiot, and I'm going to make bad choices. And, God, I'm asking you to protect them and give them wisdom. Because if you don't pray that, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You can't fight that fight by yourself. Stronger have fell. 1 Timothy. I got a couple more verses, and I'll get out of your way. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And I'm going to read 12 through 16. It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine, and neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given by thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon the things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Amen.
Save thyself and them that hear thee. My prayer is that I and many others here will be an example, to be a good example and to keep each other accountable.
Amen.
Hey, look, it doesn't take but a few minutes to call somebody and text somebody. It really doesn't. When you see your fellow brother struggling, hey, reach out to them. Even if they're not and you think they are, why don't you just text them and see how they're doing? Be an example for them. Be an example. I had some good examples. There were some men that I had that you know held me accountable, and I was telling the story last night to the guys that were over there, and I was telling them about Brother George, and man, I miss him so bad. Man. He would text me a scripture, and sometimes he would make one up. And he would be like, where's this at? And I can tell you, it's not easy trying to find certain scriptures that are not in the Bible. Hey, Google don't even work. But he would do things like that to see what your answer is. So I tell you, I would get a text from him all the time. And if we didn't talk for 2 or 3 days, he would text. And one of his favorite famous things we were talking about is in most of the songs and all. And he would text me all the time. And I miss it. I miss it so bad. I could tell you. You know, it's cloudy out today, brother. Amen. He's like, you know, it could be any day now, any minute. You ready? Because I'm ready. And I text him back, yeah, brother, I'm ready. He said, I'm waiting for the trumpet. It could take a bad day that I was having and turn it good. Something stupid like that, right? My brother texted me about the clouds. I was going to say clowns. About the clouds. But it changed me.
Yep.
It changed my thinking. Hey, I have never been in this book ever as much as that man made me get in this book. Good night. Because you had to test him because he would test you. Because he would tell you something that ain't there and you better know. But anyway, you know what he was trying to do? He was trying to be an example to somebody that he knew needed it. Somebody that he believed without the help would fall. He was right. Amen. It gave me the boost I needed to get in there. And then God did the rest.
Yep. Amen.
We need to be an example. Amen. Probably wouldn't hurt to pick out somebody. First Peter, real quick, and then I'll get done with this. First Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple verses here. In verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are upon unto them, are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Who is it? You know what the Lord's saying? Nobody. Nobody. Verse 14, it says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, and whereas they speak evil of you as the evildoers, they may be ashamed and falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins and just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. See, what the Lord wants you to know is that you will never cause harm to stand up for God. It will never, ever harm anyone to do right. Amen. Can anybody here give me an example where I'm wrong? It would never harm anyone to do right.
Amen.
And if you're doing right, the Lord's saying, who going to go against you?
Amen. Yep.
Who? You're going to feed something. You're going to be filled with something. And it's up to you to figure out what it is that you're going to be filled with. I would say, if anything, be filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
be filled with a heart that wants to help people, be filled with something that, that you could be an example, be filled with the Word of God. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for your mercy and grace, Lord God. Thank you for allowing me.